Welcome again. Thank you for being with us as we worship together online this Sunday. You know, one of the unfortunate side effects of being of a certain age, let's say over the age of 50, for example, as I am, is that certain things don't function exactly as great as they used to function. One of those things that I found very surprising was my eyesight. I've always had absolutely perfect eyesight, my whole life long, 20/20 vision. And then I hit about 40, 45, and suddenly I'm looking at bottles of medicine or directions on very small pamphlets, and I'm finding that the direction that I hold them and the distance that I hold them and the faces that I make while trying to read them are becoming more and more extreme. And so somebody finally suggested strongly that I consider some reading glasses. Well, I've tried quite a few pair of reading glasses, and now I have them a little bit of everywhere. And if I'm going to be reading for any length of time, I put on a pair of glasses. And I'm going to tell you, I was absolutely convinced that there was no particular function that those reading glasses could have that I would need, that they would not help until the first time I put them on, and suddenly the letters that had been so hard for my eyes to focus on, poof, came into perfect focus. And I have to say, I was a little shocked. I was a little surprised. I did not realize how much I needed those lenses. But here's the thing. My eyes have grown older. The muscles that control my eyes are not as good as they used to be. But the actual print on the page, which I'm going to tell you right here and now, I blame all the time. I'm going to say, I don't know why they keep making print smaller. I don't know why they keep making typeface tinier. They haven't. Those things haven't changed. The print is always what the print was. The print in books is always what print was. The print on bottles is always what print was. It's my eyes that have changed. And when I put a good pair of reading glasses on, all of those words go back to exactly the way I remember them being. Sharp, clear focus. But of course the words haven't changed. Just the lens that I look at them through has changed. And this is what I want to talk to you all about today. The lenses that we look at life through. And what is and what is not unchangeable about the lives that we lead. Jesus, in today's story, takes his disciples, as was his custom, and goes up the mountain to pray and to have some company with him while he was alone praying. Jesus really liked to have company with him when he was alone. He must have been a true extrovert. So he goes up the mountain to pray with God and to talk to God the Father, and apparently to have a conversation with at least a couple of figures from the Old Testament. And while he's up there, he is transfigured, and you can see Christ's true divinity being reflected outward. And he's there, and he's having a conversation with Moses, of all people. And the disciples that he's taken with him up the mountain see Jesus transfigured. They're awestruck and amazed. They try to convince Jesus to stay up on the mountain. God the Father causes a cloud to come down where he speaks to the disciples. This is a recurring theme throughout the Bible. Whenever God the Father goes to speak to humanity, there's usually a cloud that comes down that the voice comes out of. And then, as the cloud goes away, Jesus is returned to normal, to how he had been, and they go back down the mountain. Now, here's what you need to understand. Jesus went up the mountain. Jesus was transfigured. Jesus came down the mountain. But nothing changed for Jesus. When he went up the mountain, he knew he was the Son of God. He knew that he was this radiant being of pureness and holiness that was living in the kingdom of God before he came down here to earth and would return again to the kingdom of God. On the top of the mountain, some of that radiance was reflected out of him, and then back to normal. Jesus did not change. It's not like he went up the mountain and said, gee, I wonder if I'm really the Son of God, and came down going, wow, I really am. That's great. He knew who he was on the way up. He knew exactly who he was on the way down, and his perception did not change. Because Jesus did not change. He was the same before, he was the same after. He was the Son of God. But for the disciples who went up the mountain with him, their perception of him, the lens that they looked at God through, changed drastically, changed dramatically. Their perception of who Christ was could not have been any more different. Oh, yes, they knew he was a miracle worker. They knew that he could do things no one else could do. They knew he was wise and they knew he was Messiah. But standing on the mountain, seeing Jesus transfigured into a being of glowing light and having the voice of God the Father say, "This is my son, listen to him." That was a transformative event. It literally changed the lens that the disciples looked at life through. It changed their perception of who Jesus was. It certainly changed their perception of who they were. Why do we know that it changed the perception of who they were? Because the very next thing that we hear the disciples doing is arguing among themselves who is going to be in charge of the kingdom when it comes through Jesus Christ. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Which is the greatest of the disciples? They've realized that there is a cosmic scale to what they are doing. And that Jesus' kingdom isn't a maybe or a possibly. They recognize that Christ is God with us. And that when his kingdom comes, it will be absolute and incredible and astounding. And they want to know who's going to be his second in command. Who's going to be where in the pecking order? It didn't matter before, because before he was just a rabbi who had great power. Now he's the Son of God. Their perception changed, but perhaps not even for the better. Yes, they saw Jesus as he truly was, but the lens that they looked at was still warped. They thought of the kingdom as an earthly place, and he has to begin to change that vision. I've been to an eye doctor now. Been to an eye doctor more than quite a few times, as a matter of fact. If you've ever been to an eye doctor, you know there's this little exercise they do where they show you one lens, and then they show you another one, then they show you another one. Is this better? Is this better? Is this better? Is this better? Every time I go to an eye doctor, I think surely there's a better way to do this. Isn't this the way we've tested people's eyes? Well, my entire life long, probably your entire life long, isn't there a way to just shoot a laser in somebody's eyes and automatically know what they need? Instead, what do eye doctors do? They show us life through one lens, through another lens, through one lens, through another lens. This slow process of finding the perfect spot where our eyes do exactly what they're supposed to do and show us life exactly as it is. Well, this is the life of faith. See, the disciples went up on top of the mountain and God changed the lens through which they see it. Is this better? And yes, they saw Jesus for who he was. Then they come down the mountain. What's going to happen next is, first, they're going to discover that the disciples who were left behind failed at their job. They did not heal the people they were supposed to heal. And then the disciples are going to argue over who's next in the kingdom of God. Jesus then is going to have to tell them, that's not how the kingdom works. How is it to be great in the kingdom? To be great in the kingdom is to be humble. So again, God is changing that lens. Is this better? Is that better? Is this better? Is that better? And as Christians, sometimes we feel like our faith life ought to show us all that we need to know, teach us all that we need to learn, make us all that we need to be. And it will. Just not all at once. God wants to show us his kingdom. God wants to show us his perfection. God wants to show us his true face. We want to see it, but our eyes aren't ready. We're not ready to perceive God's presence among us. So what does God do? He gives us little steps. He shows us life in new ways. He helps us grow a little here. A little there, a step here, a step there. We want to jump right ahead. We want to jump right ahead to having perfect vision of the kingdom of God. But that's not how it works. See, God takes us a step at a time. He gives us that little change in perspective a little at a time. He helps us to see himself in our life a little at a time. We get very anxious. We get very demanding. We get very impatient. We want more. Give me more peace. Give me more wisdom. Give me more understanding. Help me be more faithful. God says, no, no. I'm going to change it a little at a time. Look at it through this lens. Look at it through that lens. As we study the scriptures, that's what it's doing. It's opening our eyes just this much to the face of God. Changing our perspective. Every time we take on a new ministry, every time we take on a new discipline, a new spiritual discipline, God changes that lens, that filter just a little bit. Our vision gets just a little bit clearer, just a little bit sharper, just a little bit truer. Now, the world tries to distract us. There's no truth in the world. The world is just telling us it's okay to be blind. You don't need to know where you're going. Walk into walls. It's fine. That's what sin is. No. God has in mind for you and me a newer, a better, and a wholer life in which his Holy Spirit slowly guides us into a deeper, clearer, sharper vision, just a little at a time. But he is still God who is perfect. Just as Christ was perfectly God when he went up and came down the mountain, nothing changed for him. God is always perfect in front of us. But how we see God is an always perfecting state of being. Never quite there. Always getting a new perspective, a new view, a new lens. And so I say to you all, may God continue to clear your vision so that you can see him more clearly, more wholly, and more truly.